welcome, everybody, to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. I'm your humble, gracious, and beautiful host, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with some good friends of mine. Eric?
What up?
What's up, buddy? What up? How you doing?
Good.
Very good, very good. I'm here with Stevie.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. And my brother, Dougie.
Yo.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Got a lot to get into tonight. Going to be a busy weekend.
Yes, absolutely. But first, make sure to check out the Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday and Friday after AEW and SmackDown, respectively. Make sure to check out us on Fridays here at 6:30 p.m. Unscripted Unlimited on Saturdays. Time varies now that I'm working Saturdays again, but that's just the way it's going to be. Also, our UFC show will be coming back at some point in the near future. Settle in the Ring and all that stuff. That'll usually be on Saturdays. Sunday, we have Scaredy Cats at 3 p.m. And, yeah.
Now, we should let everybody know that next week there's going to be no shows, like, at all.
Except for Scaredy Cats. Because we're pre-recording Sunday.
Okay. So, like, Friday and Saturday next week, Daniel and I will not be in town. So there will be no shows Friday and or Saturday.
Exactly. With all that being said, let's go to Doug with the news.
Yeah. Oh, and I also do want to say that we may have a huge announcement tomorrow, depending on if I make the phone call tomorrow. So we may have a huge announcement on the Unlimited show.
Okay.
All right. So with the news, so I just found this out about 20 minutes ago. There was a bunch of releases today, and I believe it was the majority of the NXT roster. Or not the majority, but a lot of them. Well, not just NXT, also 205 Live.
Yeah.
Tony Nese gone, Aria Daivari gone, Ever Rise out, the Bollywood Boys are gone. Brazan goes out. Killian Dane's been fired, which it's weird. Like, Killian Dane, like, they just started giving a push to his wife, and now they fire him. WWE really likes
this. Yeah, it is very odd.
Yeah, it's fucked. They don't care about relationships and shit like that.
Yeah. I really think
when they released Aston and Fab.
Right. Well, they were releasing Aleister Black as they were also trying to renegotiate bringing Zelina Vega back in.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly what this means because they released a lot of 205 Live and the NXT roster. I mean, I think it's mostly 205 Live. When they were going to start bringing people up from NXT to the main roster because of all the roster cuts they made on the main roster a couple weeks ago. So I don't know if this was, a Triple H thing, because usually Vince McMahon doesn't touch NXT because Triple H won't let him.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly what the story is. I don't know if Triple H knew anything about it, which if he didn't, he's going to be pissed because he doesn't like Vince messing with his shit.
He was pissed about Joe.
Yeah, and he was able to bring Joe back. Remember last year, too, Drake Maverick originally was part of those April releases, and they kept him around for like another month so they could do the Cruiserweight thing. And then Triple H said, no, you're gonna stay. So I don't know what
exactly.
Go ahead.
Nothing's ever 100%.
Right. So I don't know exactly what's going on. So that's just something to kind of watch out for. Also, this past week, I believe it was actually a Tuesday or Wednesday, Melissa Coates, who is known as Sabu's Super Genie, unfortunately passed away at the age of 50.
Damn.
Yeah.
She was there with the jar, right? With me?
Yeah.
That's a good, damn.
Yeah. You've met.
That sucks.
They started hanging out in, I want to say 2013, 2014. Eric, do you remember what year it was that you went with us to Pro Wrestling World in Allentown and you went to meet Sabu when he wasn't there?
That might have been 2014, 2015.
Okay. That's when I think they first started kind of hooking up because Sabu was late to Pro Wrestling World because him and the Genie were having sex.
Yeah.
And they lost track of time. I swear it's a true story.
Is that the one I met Christy Hemme?
Yeah. You went to meet Sabu, but you got to meet Christy Hemme. I'm pretty sure he traded up. but
And we'll be talking about her later, too.
Yeah. But anyway, rest in peace to Melissa Coates. Also, I keep seeing it. I know he's in bad health, but I'm pretty sure he's still alive. Paul Orndorff?
Yeah.
I mean, people keep trying to post in the old school wrestling group, which 30,000 followers, by the way, 30,000 members of that group, by the way, facebook.com/group/oldschoolwrestling. But as far as I know right now, Paul Orndorff is still alive.
Oh, wow.
So, all right, before my brother falls asleep, let's get into Vengeance.
All right, boys. Vengeance 2005. Big time in the business. Ruthless Aggression era in full swing. Our attendance is 9,850 people with a buy rate of 420,000. Business was not at its hottest, but it's still doing well. We are in the Thomas and Mack Center in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And you got to remember, too, this is basically when the torch was kind of passed to Cena and Batista.
Yeah, well, at that WrestleMania.
Yep.
But, yeah, they're the two guys now, and we see that here, especially because you talk about it a little bit, Doug, the background. Why is John Cena on this card, even though technically he's the WWE champion and
okay,
one
so
belt is on each brand?
The draft. The WWE draft, which back in the Ruthless Aggression era was a staple. It was called the draft lottery back then. But this is before, like, they did the computers and shit.
Yeah.
When, you know, you would have to win a match to get a draft pick.
Yeah.
You know, when they did that in 07, 08, 09. I think they did that up to 2011. And I actually like that.
Yeah.
Better than the shit they're doing now. But in 2005, they had a draft, but it lasted a month. So on June 6th, I believe it was the first pick, and that would go to Raw.
Yeah.
And it was John Cena, and he's the WWE champion. So it was this big thing. I actually do recommend everybody here. I mean, you and I, it depends on if we have time or not.
Yeah.
Go back and watch June 6th, 2005 episode of Raw. Cause there's a lot of stuff that happened on that episode that was actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
Actually that whole month of Raw's June 05, that whole month was actually really good.
Yeah.
So
they had a hell of a roster back then.
Yeah. So Cena gets drafted to Raw and then like, a couple nights later, well, it was taped the next night for SmackDown, Chris Benoit goes over. The following week, Kurt Angle comes over. All right, and then for SmackDown got Randy Orton. And then the third week, Carlito came over. And then Muhammad Hassan went to SmackDown.
Right.
And then should I spoil who Raw then got, you know, the night after Vengeance or
who Raw got?
Yeah.
go ahead.
The night after Vengeance. They got Big Show and RVD as like the last two picks. And then going over to SmackDown, you know, spoiler alert, it was actually Batista and Christian.
Yeah.
So this was actually the last Raw pay-per-view for both guys. Batista for, well, actually both of them for several years. Because, you know, Christian will be gone later on in the year.
Yeah, exactly. So this card opens up with Hurricane and Rosie against the Heartthrobs on Heat for the tag team titles, and it really tells you how much WWE cared about the tag division at that point.
Yes, I mean,
there wasn't a tag match on this card,
no,
on the main card.
On the main card, yeah. And what's funny is that this was actually like kind of like a, not necessarily a big feud, but this was like their main tag team feud. But what I'll never forget, and this is one of the reasons why I tell everybody to check out that June 6th, 2005 episode of Raw, is because we had Hurricane, on that card, we had Hurricane and Rosie teaming up with Christy Hemme to take on the Heartthrobs in Victoria. And Christy Hemme beat the shit out of Victoria during that match to where, like, a Hurricane and Rosie could barely hold her back. Like, little, like, 5 foot nothing, you know, 100-pound Christy Hemme.
Yeah, she was a little spitfire.
Yeah, she was.
Okay, so that's the match that he...
Hell.
Yeah, she's gorgeous. Didn't watch this one because why?
Well, one, it's not on the network.
Not on the cock. There is no network.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
And two, I think that's actually it. Super Stacy was with Rosie because we got to talk about Stacy Keibler. She's beautiful.
Yeah, and that was actually kind of a good fit. Well, actually also because her and Hurricane were actually real-life friends.
Yeah.
So that was one of the main reasons why she got put with them. Because they really didn't have, all they were really having her do were t-shirt spots.
Yeah.
And they really wanted something for her to do. And I think it was actually Hurricane that said, what if we put her in a superheroine or heroine costume? Or however you fucking pronounce it.
Heroine. All
right. So let's put her in a costume and let's have her with Rosie and I. He's like, I mean, we're already over, but this will help.
Yeah.
And
the Hurricane and Rosie were a great tag team.
I love, they should have fucking made the top 50, which I still actually have to watch that episode for 10 through 6, but they should make the top 50 greatest tag teams.
I agree.
They didn't, which blows.
Wait, Sunday Night Heat's not on the cock?
Not up to that point, only like the episodes from 90 and 98 and the first part of 99.
That's stupid. Were they on the network?
Not yet.
Okay.
It's getting there. Everything's slowly migrating over.
No, but where was all the Heat on the original network?
No.
Just 98, 99?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Let's start up. What starts this main card is Carlito versus Shelton Benjamin, two young guns, two phenomenal athletes for the Intercontinental Championship. This went about 13 minutes. Eric, what did you think?
I thought this was a phenomenal match between two good athletes, as you said. I mean, Benjamin is one of the best athletes to ever step foot in the WWE. And, very underrated. I thought Benjamin should have won this match, but it was a good match. I liked it. Good opener.
Shelton came in the champion, right?
No, he lost the title 6 days later.
To Carlito?
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Shelton was champion for 8 months and a day.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do after that? I mean, the only thing you really could do, because one, he's a babyface. If you're going to have him be... Mm-hmm. Like a champion, that you'd have to turn him heel. Like if you wanted him to like break Honky's record,
yeah,
you'd have to turn him heel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you asked this question earlier, Doug. Why wasn't Shelton Benjamin, why didn't they keep his push going around this time? Because this is around the time where he was looking like a megastar.
Okay, so I think it was just more of, I don't think they really saw the main event star power in him.
Yeah.
And because, again, he was on fire here. When he came, well, when he came over the year prior in that draft in 2004, the Raw, you know, he was on fire, but then they had to cool him off a little bit because Triple H was, you know, afraid of him, you know, becoming a bigger star.
Yep.
Actually, no, I don't even think it was Triple H. I actually think it was Orton.
I don't know. I thought him and Orton had good repertoire because they came up together.
Well, and what the fucked up thing is that, like, the guy that actually killed Shelton's push was actually Batista, because Shelton was doing
Damn.
This thing of, you know, he was going over all the Evolution members because
yeah.
he was trying to keep the Evolution win streak alive.
Yeah.
It got time for him to face Batista 6 days before Shelton was getting his Intercontinental title shot.
Yeah.
Batista went over.
Yeah, but then Shelton won the title, right?
No.
Oh.
Not at the, because that was at Bad Blood 04.
Against?
Randy.
Yeah.
So, no. So, Batista went over. Ric Flair interfered in the thing a lot, but still, it was just like, it made no fucking sense. You have to keep the guy's momentum going. But no, so basically Batista kind of stalled Shelton's push there. I don't know if it was on purpose or...
No,
I don't actually think it was on purpose, because Batista's another one of the guys that came up with Shelton.
Yeah, and he doesn't book himself to win or lose. That's
yeah,
not
he
how
didn't.
Wrestling works. Someone else books it.
Yeah.
It's not like it was his call.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been back then.
No, he didn't even have the stroke at the time.
So, but yeah, but then when Shelton came back after suffering a broken hand, because Lance Cade, God rest his soul, but he's still a moron. By the way, this will not be the first time I insult the dead on this episode, so just be careful. Viscera.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah,
but I should talk about that.
Yeah. So, anyway, so when Shelton came back, Shelton got this big push again. I think it was just more they really did not know what else to do with him after, because I don't think they wanted to make him world champion. They weren't interested in turning him heel yet. But, yeah, like, his push just basically just stalled.
Yeah. But this was a really good match. Stevie, what do you think?
I think it was an average match that dragged on a bit at times. I liked Carlito's heel tactics, but some of his offense was really boring to sit through. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the crowd got into it.
I can see that, too, because I feel like around this time, wasn't Carlito called lazy a lot?
Yeah.
And you can see it in his matches sometimes. Like, Shelton was obviously working harder than Carlito.
I don't think Carlito really picked up steam till like 06. But then he started to lose steam again in like 07, early 08. But then finally when they brought Primo in.
Yeah, they did the tag team.
Yeah, like that kind of picked Carlito back up.
I mean, I thought this run was, he had a good heel run here, but Shelton Benjamin was the better athlete. Well, I think they were both great athletes, but Shelton Benjamin was more hungry, it seems.
Yeah. I mean, that's the best way to put it.
All right, let's give it a rating.
I'm going with
7.
Okay. Stevie?
I'll have to go 6.
All right. I'll probably join you guys and say 7 because I did get enjoyment out of this match. I see where Stevie's coming from, that it did drag at certain points. But, and You noticed the crowd booed Shelton a little bit, too. Which I was
yeah, because I think they were even starting to get a little tired of him.
Which sucks, but that's the way it went. So, next up, our only female match on the card, which, I mean, this, it tells you how much WWE cared about the women's division, too. I mean, we've came a long way, for sure.
Well, and Trish actually took a lot of time off. So, the women's champion wasn't even there.
Yeah, vacated them. We can do everybody else. Victoria versus Christy Hemme. Victoria gets the win by pinfall. 5-minute match. What are your thoughts, Doug?
Okay. So does everybody remember how this thing got set up?
Yeah.
So they had a Memorial Day bikini contest. And it was Candice Michelle, Maria, Christy Hemme, Victoria, and was going to be Lillian Garcia, but then Viscera got hungry, came in, got her, and said, I need a snack.
Did he?
Something like that, yeah. He goes, I just got to have it. And carried her, I don't know, that piece of fuck. So, anyway, so Christy Hemme wins the bikini contest. Jerry Lawler is, of course, you know, in the ring. He's the master of ceremonies or whatever. Victoria gets upset and she starts going after, she starts beating the crap out of Christy Hemme. And she also beats up Candice and Maria, which, and they're all in bikinis too. So that was kind of a turn on. And, you know, she beats the hell out of Christy Hemme. And Jerry Lawler tries to stop her, so Victoria kicks Jerry Lawler square in the balls. Mm-hmm. And I remember Jerry King, like, afterwards, he goes back up to the announce desk, and he says to JR, he goes, JR, can you please get me some ice? And he's just like, he goes, well, I got to call the match first. He goes, I'll get the ice on a commercial break. He's like, I'm not putting it there, though.
That's funny.
So, but yeah, like this match, Christy Hemme could actually work.
No, she couldn't.
She tried.
She tried her best, and she flailed very well. And, I mean, she was full of chutzpah. She gave a fuck. Victoria's skill is obviously way bigger than hers. Victoria is an actual legitimate female wrestler. Not a diva. I never considered Victoria a diva. She was
Victoria never considered Victoria a diva.
She was one of those that could actually get in the ring and work. And it showed here. I mean, Christy Hemme was... I mean, I like Christy Hemme, but you can't confuse the two. One's a wrestler, one's a diva. In my aspect. I think, yeah. I mean, Christy's there because she's pretty at the time.
Christy's there because she won a Diva Search contest.
Because she's pretty.
Yeah. And what's actually funny is if you actually think about it, and I know you're a huge fan of Ashley Massaro, again, another young lady, God rest her soul.
That's two women I met at that convention that died now.
Yeah. I actually think out of all the Diva Search winners that there were,
yeah,
Christy was probably the best looking.
Yeah, well, we're not going to get into that. But I
can say that.
I don't know. Yeah. But I don't know if she was the most talented in the ring. I think she's a good managerial role, great ring announcer in TNA.
Yeah. Well, if you actually think about it, if you go back and look at all the Diva Search winners, probably the best worker out of all of them is probably Eve Torres.
Yeah. Yeah. She could work.
Wow.
Stevie, what'd you think of this thing?
I thought it was a bad match. I mean, Victoria tried to carry her to something decent, but it was tough to do. I mean, Christy Hemme wasn't really very good in the ring. I mean, if you look at it, because she was limited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wasn't trained to be a wrestler. She was trained to shake her ass,
but she's in a wrestling match. And you can only shake your ass and make it work if you're Rikishi.
Yeah. Although I'd much rather get the stink face from her.
I don't know. I'd want the full experience. Christy Hemme, I just great girl, great girl. Let's move on. Eric, what do you think of this one?
Very nice. I thought it was below average. It was kind of boring. So, yeah, I'm with Stevie here. Not great wrestling match.
Let's give ratings. I'm going to do a 3.
I'm going to do a 4.
I'll do 2.5.
Okay. I think I'll just give it a 2.
All right.
Wait a minute. I'm the one that's being the kindest to the women?
Yeah.
Oh my God! What kind of world are what kind of world are we in?
The shitty one. All right,
Kane, I met a girl, and I give it 2.5.
Yep. Kane and Edge. Kane beats Edge here. Lita's with Edge. This is the Edge is the prime rated R superstar. He's got the money in the bank. He just got Lita. Lita betrayed Kane. The whole storyline going into this was. Kane and Lita, Kane got Lita pregnant, right?
Yeah.
When she was with Matt. And this is storyline, obviously. She eventually learns to live with it. Because they got along through the Snitsky thing, right?
All right. So they got along through the Snitsky thing after Snitsky caused Lita to, quote unquote, lose the baby.
Yeah.
But then Kane actually had to go away on injury, was storyline injured for a couple of months, but that's because Lord help him, he actually had to start filming for See No Evil.
Yeah.
And then when he came back, that storyline was going to continue, but then Lita blew her knee out.
Yeah.
So then she had to go away for a while. And then when they brought her back to television, because they wanted to bring her back to continue her feud with Trish, and also to train Christy Hemme. And when they brought Lita back, they brought Lita back to television around the same time that WWE fired Matt Hardy after it was revealed that Edge and Lita were sleeping together. By Matt Hardy. Matt got fired. Great move there, John Laurinaitis.
Well, Matt was being kind of a bitch about it. He went on like the original Twitter rant about it, didn't he? Like it was all over blogs and shit. He put it everywhere.
Yeah, he was the originator of the bitching on the internet.
Yeah.
Back before YouTube was a fucking thing, by the way. So, Matt gets fired. There was a Raw at Madison Square Garden in April, and Lita comes out and starts cutting a promo, with Trish, and the audience is just booing the shit out of her and calling her a slut.
Yeah. I mean, thinking about it now, like it sucks. And it really made me put the situation in perspective and think Matt Hardy is a piece. I love Matt Hardy to death, and I understand, and this is more the drama of the situation, so I don't want to get into it too much. But he did kind of ruin her life, like with the crowd and the audience and stuff. Like she was never going to be the fan favorite Lita that she was. Like they were calling her a crack whore. They were chanting Lita's a crack whore.
Right, and here's the thing. If you don't want to be with somebody anymore, that's your prerogative.
Yeah, I mean, I will never condone cheating, but, they made a mistake, and it sucks that she had to pay for it for, like, 4+ years after the mistake,
Yeah, and the shitty part is that, like, she ended up having to leave. She left in 2006. And the way she tells it is that, like, she eventually had to leave the company because, she was doing all this, like, live sex shit and all that.
Yeah.
That she did not want to do.
Yeah.
But they actually, according to her, they threatened to fire her if she didn't do it. But a lot of people are poking holes in that theory, being like, if they force you to do live sex shit, you could sue them for sexual harassment, right?
Yeah.
Which you actually, that is a thing.
Yeah, I mean,
sexual harassment is a crime.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never committed it. I mean, maybe against other men, but
don't just shut up.
Yeah. Eric.
Kane and Edge, I enjoyed this match. What did you think, Stevie?
I thought the match was okay. There just wasn't a lot of chemistry between them. And I thought Kane was a much better heel for most of his career.
Yeah, you're right. I agree. I didn't. Did you like this show, Stevie? the last couple matches.
I mean, I liked it. It was okay. I mean, I thought it was a decent pay-per-view.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Kane, so, yeah, go ahead.
Some of the matches could have been more decent. You know what I mean?
Sure. I'm a little bit on the different angle here because it was I had liked seeing Kane do a babyface shtick.
So did I.
It worked for me. I do agree with Stevie that Kane's a much better heel than he is babyface. There's no denying that. But I don't know. There was something I thought I actually liked the chemistry here. Like compared to their match that we reviewed at the one Backlash, this is 10 times better, right?
Yeah, the Backlash 04. The Backlash 04 match sucked.
Yeah. I mean, I liked it, and that was with Edge as the babyface and Kane as the heel. And I like this one way better.
Which actually is kind of weird because, like, they were in Canada, which is, like, Edge, like, territory.
Yeah.
And nobody gave a shit.
Yeah, no one really cheered.
Well, and I think it was all...
And people cheered Christian, too.
Yeah. Well, but also I think it had to do with the fact that everybody basically blew their load during Cactus Jack and Randy Orton.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to follow that.
Yeah.
But this match, I just like the way, like, it sucks that I'm glad that they got the payoff of this here. I'm glad that there was a payoff to Kane and Edge because the whole Matt Hardy kind of ruined that whole storyline and made it about him, which is obvious.
Well, because they Edge and Kane had another string of matches on Raw in, you know, July-ish. And they, but there was never really a clear, I mean, Edge got to win the majority of the matches.
Yeah.
But that's also because, like, you know, Matt would come out and interfere and all that shit. But, I mean, Kane's ultimate payoff was the fact that he actually got the Tombstone Lita, like, on the stage.
Yeah.
And then commandeered the ambulance with her in the back.
I'm glad. I think the right guy won here. I'm glad we got a babyface win from Kane. I mean, this pay-per-view had a lot of babyface wins, but it was nice seeing Kane get a victory here.
Yeah, it was very babyface heavy.
Yeah.
Which actually is not a bad thing if you think about it.
In some areas, no.
Yeah.
Because we started out with two heel victories, and then we finished the show with all babies. What did you think, Eric?
I thought this was a good match. I thought it was a fun match. More of a fun match than great, but I liked it.
Well, this was my favorite match of the show.
Yeah.
And mainly because, like, I liked seeing Edge get his ass kicked around this time. Because he was such a dick.
He was such a good heel.
Yeah. But Snitsky coming out and getting whacked with the Money in the Bank briefcase, and then that's when Kane grabbed Edge and chokeslammed. And wasn't it during this match when Coach told JR to say something, and JR's just like, say please.
Yeah. And then Coach said please, and then JR gave him the answer.
Yeah.
It was funny. Yeah, that was funnier than hell. This was entertaining. Snitsky would not fuck off. Like, usually you get one or two interferences. He was, like, there, like, for the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, he kept coming in, and it's just like, dude.
Let him wrestle.
They have Lita at ringside. You only need a pair of tits out there to do the distracting, not an actual boob.
And why are you helping Edge and Lita when... And why does Lita even like you anymore when you cause her to have a miscarriage?
It made no fucking sense.
No. It was stupid. But they wanted...
And this was actually around the time, though, too, and I should not be speaking about this, but This is around the time, too, where they gave Snitsky the character trait that he had a foot fetish.
Why shouldn't you speak about that?
Okay.
Let's rate it.
For once, I'm taking the high road.
Eric, what would you give this match? 1 out of 10?
Yeah. I'll give it 6.5.
I'm giving it an 8.
Stevie?
I'll have to give it an 8.
I'm going to give it a 7. So you change your mind a little bit, Stevie? Giving it an 8?
Yeah,
8?
You know what? Yeah, I'll go with a 7. 7, I'll go with a 7.
Okay. Yeah, I'll probably go 7, too. Yeah, and I agree with a lot of the points Stevie made. Very good points.
Yeah.
About how Kane's
no, they were really good points. Now, after this match, was it after this match that the Viscera bullshit happened, or was it after the next one?
I don't remember.
Can you talk
Eric?
About it now?
Well,
I don't
did it
remember
happen
either.
After
you
this, or
about...
did it happen after the Sean thing?
I think it happened after the Sean thing, no?
After the Sean.
She went outside. Yeah.
And I fast forward through it, right?
Yeah. So let's do this match first.
All right.
26 minutes, Sean and Kurt Angle, rematch for the WrestleMania Classic. Stevie, what's your opinion on this one?
I thought it was an outstanding match that was expected from two good wrestlers, but I really don't think it was 5 stars. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't think it lived up to the WrestleMania match, but it was still good.
No.
The WrestleMania match, and there was a reason why our fans voted it the greatest WrestleMania match of all time.
Which I don't completely agree with, but it's in my top 10.
I think it was in everybody's top 10 but mine.
Yeah.
And it's just because I'm stupid.
Yeah.
What?
So Sean got his win back, and it was cool. You know, he hit him with the super kick out of nowhere. Oh, he kicked out of that, though.
Yeah, and then Kurt went up to the top rope, and Sean kicked him as he was coming off the top.
Yeah.
Which Kurt Angle should not be doing a top rope move that goes into a super kick.
No. But I did really enjoy this for what it was. What was your thoughts on it, Eric?
I mean, I love this match. It's obviously my boy, but it wasn't as top notch as the WrestleMania match, but it was a little underwhelming. But I liked it. I still liked it. Probably my favorite match in the card, maybe.
All right.
Yeah, I thought it was a real good match too. Again, I'm gonna say it again. Did not, you know, surpass the WrestleMania match, but it was still a good match. I mean, you can't really get a bad match out of these two.
Yeah, and it's like...
I mean, if they did this now, then yeah, it would be bad, but...
And when you put a 5-star... It's a... WrestleMania was a 5-star, or according to our scale, a 10-star match.
Yeah.
WrestleMania match was fucking amazing. How do you top that? And it's the only reason it doesn't live up to it because, like, they gave everything they had in the first one. So when you see Angle do the long ankle lock spot, like, because they did it again here, it just doesn't mean as much as it did the first time. But it's still awesome to watch. It's just, like, it's hard to compare. It's hard to put it with there. But for a second match, the fact that they went almost 30 minutes again and it was just as good.
Right.
Almost just as good. That says something about two guys. I'm giving this...
I wish they had a third match, actually. Just to have to finish off the series.
That 30-minute Ironman match at that Raw Homecoming.
Ooh. Was that good, too?
It was good, but there was, like, no clear winner, though.
Oh, okay. That's stupid.
Yeah.
You should have had it at SummerSlam.
I'm giving this an 8.
I'll give it an 8.
Yeah, I'll give it an 8.
I'll give it an 8.
All right, 8s all around. Now, one of my favorite... Oh, no, fuck. We got to get into Big Vis, Mabel, the Big Love Machine. Who? You want to set the stage, Doc, or you want me to? And then you bitch.
You set the stage.
All right. So Big Vish, is this an engagement? What is this?
So Lillian Garcia the week before on Raw said, "This, our lives are going to change for the better in Vegas, baby." Because they were kind of like starting to flirt around with each other and all that.
Yeah.
Because Vince was actually getting a push.
Yeah.
And so she called him out to the ring. She had like a couch out there or something. And I thought you were setting the stage to this.
I forgot what happened. It was an engagement though, right? She engaged.
She proposed.
She proposed. And then the Godfather came out. My boy Charles, the pimp daddy. Roll a fatty for that pimp daddy. We don't promote that on this show, but
yeah,
teach their own.
Although, to be honest with you, I was pretty sure that Lillian Garcia was praying for Bart Gunn to come out and knock his ass out again.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's funny, but what happened, it upsets you because, you know, you saw the poor Lillian cry.
Yeah.
But Viscera's with Lillian.
Yeah.
She's proposing to him. The Godfather comes out with his whole train, and he basically says, do you want one hoe or do you want all the hoes, right? Or something like
yeah.
that. And Vis chose for multiple hoes.
Yeah.
So Vis left her at the altar. Well, left her in the ring.
It pretty much left her at the altar. Which I don't know why any of those hoes would want him, because if he rolled over on top of any of them, they'd all die because he's too fucking fat.
By the way, note about Victoria. You know Victoria started out as a hoe?
Yeah.
She was the Sava hoe.
Yeah, I remember. She was the one that actually got put through the table.
Yes. All right, go ahead, Doug. What's up, Cynthia?
All right. First of all, Viscera's not here to really defend himself. You know, unfortunately, he passed away. I don't care. Fuck you, Viscera. You're a fat piece of shit. First of all, you were never talented as Mabel. I don't know why the fuck they let you win the 1995 King of the Ring, because you were being pushed to face Kevin Nash. The match sucked because you're fucking worthless. And then this whole thing with, you know, Lillian, I didn't like it.
Did you say he was never as good as Mabel?
No, he was never good as Mabel.
Okay, never good as Mabel. Okay.
Never good as Mabel. All right, you're fucking worthless. You were worthless in 1995. You're worthless in 2005. The thing with here is the whole Lillian. First of all, Lillian Garcia is a ring announcer. She should have never been involved in storyline. And like, I know they were, I don't know what the hell they were trying to do with Viscera here. Cause let's face it. Like I said, couldn't get over in 95, couldn't get over in 05. And, you know, when he passed away, the only reason why his family filed a wrongful death lawsuit against WWE is so they could actually get money. They were hoping to finally get money from one of his runs, because he never drew money back then, and he sure as hell wasn't. He never drew money when he was alive. They were hoping he was going to draw money while he was dead.
Well, we don't have any Viz fans in attendance.
If they do, they can all go fuck themselves. You can't do, and the Godfather was playing his part.
Yeah,
I understand that.
So you give Godfather up? Oh no.
Lillian Garcia was a baby face. You fucking high asshole. You should not have done that to Lillian. They should have never booked it. When John Laurinaitis or whoever pitched this idea to Vince, this should have done to them what he did to all his opponents in the ring. Slam him, turn him around, and fucking dry hump him.
Was there ever any other payoff after this? Like, did anything
they did like a handicap match on Raw where Vis went against the Heartthrobs, and Lillian was crying as she was introducing him into the ring. And what they did was like the heartthrobs actually kicked Viscera's ass. Little, you know, 150-pound Antonio and 175-pound Romeo, and they beat this 500, and they beat the shit out of this 500-pound. He poops out stuff bigger than the two of them, and they beat him up. So, way to go, Viz. This really got you over, you fat fucking idiot.
Okay. Well, after that, let's preface it, like, at the end of the day, it's booking. You know, I'm sure Viz didn't come up with this idea. He was doing what he was told, just like everybody. I understand.
That's why I'm saying he should have butt-fucked Laurinaitis for giving him the idea.
Okay. So, I mean, as a passionate fan, we take it. To me, respect to, for me, respect to Viscera and his family, RIP. I do agree that he wasn't the greatest drawer, the greatest. And I understand where you're coming from because you love Lillian Garcia and she's a
Oscar guy. Oscar from Men on a Mission got over more than Viscera.
He was talented.
No. Yeah, Oscar.
I liked Oscar.
The best part of this vignette was her theme.
Huh?
The best part of this whole segment was her singing.
Her singing?
She was singing to Viscera.
Oh, yeah. So nothing ever happened after that besides her crying introducing him? Like, there was no other...
Yeah, there was nothing else. Like, Viscera was actually relegated to heat after this.
So this ended his push?
I don't know if it actually ended his push. He started teaming with Val Venus, but they were barely on Raw. They were always on, like, Heat or whatever.
Yeah, I remember. Wait, so I keep wanting to call them Deuce and Domino, but the Heartthrobs. When the Heartthrobs beat the hell out of them, was, like, Lillian laughing? Like, did it show her face or anything? Or was
no.
She, like, so all it was she cried introducing him, and that's it. This whole thing was over.
She never went to check on him. She never, you know, gave the Heartthrobs a congratulatory slap on the ass.
That was it.
Yeah.
And then he lost the match next segment. So.
Yeah.
Great story.
Well, no, I mean, he won by disqualification, but they rammed him into the ring post.
Sweet. Great storytelling. All right, let's move on. One of my favorite matches on the card, the triple threat here. We got John Cena versus Jericho and Christian. I thought this was really underrated, and I thought it's about damn time you give Christian a title match. Obviously, he leaves for TNA not too long after this, but it was nice seeing him in a WWE championship match.
This was definitely a good way to pick the show back up after that fucking turd they dropped.
Yes, and Jericho was not in his prime still, killing it. And John Cena, people still love John Cena at the time.
They didn't hate him, yes.
Yeah. So what did you think of this one, Doug?
I loved it. I thought they both did really well. And Jericho, here's the thing. I love Jericho as a babyface, but he's a lot better as a heel.
He was heel here,
right? Yeah, because he had just turned heel.
I agree. He is a better heel.
I mean, he's hilarious, actually, either way. And I think AEW, he's just gotten a lot better.
Yeah. He has.
So, but yeah, no, I love this match.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I mean, obviously Christian took the pinfall, and John Cena and Jericho continue to SummerSlam, and then Jericho leaves for a while, right, because he gets fired?
Yeah, well, he left because he really, like, the first part of this, like, storyline was that he really didn't have an interest in wrestling anymore.
Yeah.
Which was actually the truth.
He left the tour, right?
No, this was, like, around the time that, like, he would leave after SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, like, he was, like, he actually left for a couple of years because he wanted to be a rock star.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah, I remember when he came back. It was this big deal. They kept giving clues, didn't they? Yeah.
And the save me shit, yeah.
Yeah.
But here, I mean, I liked him during this. I liked Christian during this. And it kind of alluded back to when they teamed together So yeah, it was nice having those two in the same ring. Cena was top-notch babyface. I thought this worked on all levels, and I thought it was a very tremendous triple threat match.
It was.
Stevie, what'd you think?
I think this was a good match with a lot of action. It was obvious that Cena was winning the whole way, though. So I thought it was good.
Eric?
I liked it. Everybody got to show their ability. And, yeah, each person got to had equal opportunity. But we all know John Cena would have was going to win.
Yeah. I mean, it could have, like, to me, I thought Jericho might have had a chance. Obviously, Christian wasn't in the position to ever win the title back then. But, I agree. This was the height of Super Cena anyway. But, and I'm glad this didn't main event. I'm glad Batista and Triple H did, because that was obviously the money draw. But I would give this a solid 8 stars, to be honest. I enjoyed the action myself.
I'd give it an 8, too.
I'll give it an 8.
All right. 8's all around again. I thought it was a great 15-minute match. All right, boys, the main event. What we're all here for, the thing that sold this card. It really took a turn after once Kane and Edge started that this pay-per-view got really good.
Yeah.
But this is, to me, this is, I know I said it wasn't in the card for some reason, but this is my favorite match.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite matches of all time. This is one of the best Hell in a Cell matches. Triple H and Batista.
Yep.
This is Batista, I was one of the biggest Batista fans ever. You know this, when I was a kid, I fucking loved it. I grew up through this era. So, like, when you guys talk about, like, the old 90s stuff, or, like, when Eric talks about Attitude Era, this is how I feel with this era, because this is me growing up as a young guy loving wrestling. And Batista was my guy.
I love Batista.
Batista was my boy, and this was the run that really solidified him. The WrestleMania match. Did they wrestle with Backlash?
Yeah.
The Backlash match and this. And this was just spectacular, brutal to all hell. Both guys were covered in blood. I know
Triple H was spitting blood out of his mouth.
I really don't want to talk about this again because I feel like it gets brought up on damn near every episode. We know Triple H works better with his friends. But I know that Batista's his friend, but I'm fine with that because this is, like, I'm giving this a 10 because I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah.
Triple H showed out. Batista worked his ass off. They were both hungry. They both wanted to give a great show, and they both did. That is my assumption.
And here's the funny thing, too, is that Triple H took time off after this. I mean, it's about fucking time he took time off and let other people have the spotlight besides him.
Well, and he knew. Yeah, but it was kind of set up for that because then Batista's the next guy, go to SmackDown, and John Cena's the next guy for Raw.
Right. And, like, you know, because they were the stars.
Yeah, they were the next.
Yeah. And guys. Batista, like, here, and again, I liked Batista here, too. I didn't start hating Batista until 2007 because he made the mistake of writing a book.
Yeah.
Batista here, like, he was dominant, but he wasn't dominant. Like, he took some shots. Like, when he got whipped with the chain, holy shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm giving it a 10 myself.
I'm giving it a 10. It was actually my favorite match on the card. This is what Hell in a Cell match is, what you love about Hell in a Cell. Blood, guts, everybody beating the shit out of each other until you can't go anymore. I love it.
Well, remember, Eric, you can swear on this show.
Yeah, they're beating the fucking shit out of each other, damn it.
Yeah, they nearly killed each other. And JR was great on commentary.
Yeah, I mean, this is Jaron King at the finest. Even dealing with the boob coach was okay.
Yeah.
What do you think, Steve?
Yeah.
I'll give it a 10 because this is the match that elevated Batista to the next level.
Right.
Yep.
So
made him a star.
I have to go with a 10. Yeah.
And
the end of the feud, right? Yeah.
Yeah, this was the end. This was over after this. It finally put an end to this feud, and Triple H successfully pass the torch like he wanted to. Now, Batista's run after this to me was very underrated because I think he had good work on SmackDown.
He had good work on SmackDown, you know, when he worked with, you know, JBL. The stuff with Eddie was actually pretty good.
Stuff with Eddie was really good. King Booker to an extent.
Yeah.
And then Undertaker and Edge.
Would have been because Mark Henry, you know, injured Batista.
Yeah, with the chocolate mousse.
And then when they were finally going to have, like, this big match between the two of them, fucking Rey Mysterio kicked Mark Henry in the knee and it shattered his knee, which I still don't understand. Mark Henry, 450 pounds. Rey Mysterio, 175 pounds. Mark Henry takes 200-pound shit.
This is the second comparison you're doing to a bigger guy's poops being the size.
Yeah. I'm not doing it on purpose, I promise. But, so, like, the fact that Ray actually destroyed another man's knee, one, it's oxymoronic because of how many times Ray's knees have been destroyed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, Batista had a good run over. I mean, his stuff with Undertaker was probably the best.
Oh, yeah, that was great. But, you know, Batista was my
guy. I love his stuff, Edge.
Edge, yeah.
Yeah.
Edge stuff was great. Randy, to an extent. Cena, once he got with Cena, it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish he could have done more with Cena.
You got a three fucking pay-per-view thing out of it.
With Cena?
Yeah.
The first match they had, that SummerSlam match, where Cena's neck got fucked up.
Yeah.
That match was actually really... You could not tell that his neck got fucked up, though.
No, it was a really good match. I really enjoyed that one. I rewatched it. This is Tens All Around again. All right. You guys want to give final thoughts on the pay-per-view? Give this thing a rating? Get out of here?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll start. I thought that this card was solid. I think it got kicked into gear with the last four matches. I do enjoy the opener with Carlito and Benjamin. I thought it was a nice athletic display. The women's match was kind of a giveaway, but that's okay. Everything else thoroughly entertained me. It might have been a bit predictable. Besides Sean and Kurt, that could have gone either way to me. But I really enjoyed all the action on this card, and I was entertained front to bottom last night watching it again. So I'm going to give this whole card an 8 out of 10. Very solid Ruthless Aggression pay-per-view. For not being one of the big four, very solid pay-per-view. For just being a Raw show, very solid. And that's my rating. All right, go ahead, Eric.
I liked it. Besides the Christine Hemme match and the Visceral segment, other than those two, it was a solid pay-per-view. You could watch it over and over again. I could watch it. Especially Hell in a Cell match, I could watch that over again. I just loved it. I'll give it a 9, honestly. 9 out of 10.
Okay, so I really did enjoy this pay-per-view, except for I think the worst part about it was the big fat Hershey bar.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was a really good pay-per-view. I'm giving it a 9 out of 10. Batista, Cena, Shawn, Kane, Edge, Kurt, Jericho, Christian, Triple H, they all deliver.
Absolutely. Stevie, final thoughts and rating?
I'd probably give it a 9 out of 10. I think the main event stood out more. So.
Absolutely.
Probably top 3 Hell in a Cell matches.
Yeah, definitely one of the better Raw shows. And we're going to head home here, guys.
Okay.
I'll see everybody.
Well, you and I already are home.
Fuck off. We'll see everybody next week. What are we doing next week, Doug? We're not
you
doing
and I
anything
are on vacation.
Next week. We won't even be in the state. So
we'll
everyone,
be in the state of confusion.
Everyone have a nice week. We'll see our fans for the Unlimited show tomorrow night. And take care,
Remember,
guys.
Remember, we should have a major announcement tomorrow night, provided I make the phone call.
And we'll see everyone next week. In 2 weeks.
Later.
Later.
Later.